express yourself.
Hello, hello, good morning, YK Delta and beyond. This is Diane McGachran with another edition of Talkline, and with me is...
Joe Moses, Jr.
Yes, on a kind of low, kind of a dreary day in Bethel.
Don't go jinxing the weather now.
On a kind of day in Bethel, unknown. I don't know. How are you doing, Joe?
I'm doing okay. The phone number's here to give us a call, or 543-5985. 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954, or you could always email us at radio@kyk.org.
Okay. And we have our first call. Our usual first call is John. Welcome to Talkline, John.
Good morning there, everyone there. How are you guys doing there?
Good. How are you?
Boy, I finally got to hear a greeting here. Usually I'd call up and then be a deadline and put you on hold. You know whether you're coming on or off.
Yeah, yeah. So you can hear the radio while you're on hold?
Yes, I can hear both of you.
That's awesome. Okay, that,
Joe,
that'll
help. Joe, I can
help.
Hear you making noise, pitching around there.
Uh-oh. Oh, you might have heard more than you needed to.
Anyway, I'd like to talk. Last week somebody was mentioning alcohol taxes, if I recall. You know, AC is run by the Canadian liquor store, right?
Yeah.
The Canadians run that liquor store up in the...
AC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if they pay the taxes. I don't know if they're paying even the 4% of the tax, because our tax, our dollar bill is worth a lot more than the Canadian dollar. And I was wondering if they're paying the whole amount of the tax procedures. And where that tax money is going, we never hear nothing about it. I never heard nothing about it. And then another thing...
It goes into the general fund, is what they said, the general...
Oh, yeah, operating. General fund, yeah. Mm-hmm. Where's the general fund going? Money?
Well,
payroll?
The budget. Yeah, whatever, yeah. Yes.
Anyway, I was wondering about that, because all the liquor stores pay their taxes, you know, and my brother brought that up. So that's an interesting subject I'll bring up. Another thing is the shutdown on Juneau on Monday, they were saying. Don't they have, I don't understand Juneau over there. Don't they have surplus money like each individual here would have? Like, you know, we have a set income, we put our money aside and we keep that for certain, you know, certain times and moments that we need it. Would be called surplus money. You know what I mean? Something for emergencies. It seems like they don't have that.
Oh, you mean that Bethel's budget
surplus,
would have that?
Yeah, like a surplus, something you can bounce onto when...
Like a rainy day fund?
And the budget, yeah, budget gets tight. You can jump on that or, you know, on your surplus, whatever you put aside. I don't understand, you know, why don't they have that procedure, money put aside for such things? You know, instead of saying, well, we're going to close, shut down on Monday. Well, they should shut down the salaries on each one of them people. Mm-hmm. There's a thing called a staffer.
Mm-hmm.
He makes $8,000 a month. Now, what does a staffer do to create that much money? That's a lot of money.
That is, yeah.
You compare to the wages around here, some people can't even reach that goal, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then you go to Juneau, oh, they got all the money in the world. They're going to pay a staff for $8,000 a month, and we're going to shut down. That's stupid. You know? I mean, that don't make no sense at all. He's got to go down to the official, cut the salary down, re-budget it so that you can come up to a close balance. You know what I mean? Instead of creating, taking out a permanent fund and all that. And I'm against that, too.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway, the governor should never have done that. It's like Mr. Morgan was saying, that's stealing. That's blue-collar crime. That's all it is. So anyway, I had kind of feel better. I kind of agreed my ear points out now.
Uh-huh.
And I hope people are listening.
Okay.
And I wonder how the fishing's doing. Never heard nothing about the water's so low.
I know.
I've been hearing rumor that down in the bay there they're catching.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to hear somebody from down that area call.
Sure.
And be give a report, you know.
Yeah.
The water's abundant down there. It's pretty sleek up here.
Yeah.
Really shallow. Well, I better let you go. I had enough time here.
Okay.
I better let somebody else call.
Well, thank you, John.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you, everyone. And wear your life jackets. Please don't drink and drive.
Mm-hmm.
Watch pedestrians when they're on the road. Give them the right time to walk across. I've been there. I waited a couple, 3 minutes just to cross the road, and they can see me right there. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Sometimes I say, heck with it. I'm going to walk right. If I get bumped, they're going to sue me or I'm going to be gone.
No.
One of the two. So you guys start paying
bumped.
Attention to your pedestrians. Where in the heck are you rushing? Do you have to rush so much? If you're hungry, eat something before you hit the road. That way it'll ease down your stomach pain.
Yeah. Good.
some sort of assertive message to you so you can be observant, please.
It's a good message.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Take care, John.
Yeah.
Okay, so next on the line, we have Karma. Uh-oh, Joe.
This
could be scary. Is this Karma?
Yes, it is.
Okay. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm calling to let everybody know we're going to have a peaceful protest on Watson's Corner to stop the corruption in our justice system and in the police department. And we want all the crooked cops to go away,
okay.
And all the crooked officials to go away.
And when is your protest?
For good police officers. We're tired of the bad police officers treating our people like they ain't nobody.
Oh, okay.
And treating them mean and stuff. And we want things to change here. We want a few officers to step down from their position.
What day and time is your protest?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's going to be Saturday at 12 o'clock, and we'll be at Watson's Corner.
At noon. Okay, great.
Yes, ma'am. And I was going to ask you, Diane, where are you from?
Where am I from?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm from a lot of different places. I grew up in a military family. So,
oh, did you?
Yeah, so Virginia, California, Missouri, Kentucky, Massachusetts.
Well, where did you grow up after your people were out of the military?
Where did I grow up?
Yeah, after you...
Oh, as an adult, my own as an... Oh, I lived for 4 years as a Peace Corps volunteer in the Philippines. And mm-hmm. I also lived in Massachusetts and Arizona. And for the last almost 20 years, I've lived here in Bethel.
Oh,
yeah.
So you're part desert rat?
I have some Arizona running in me, yeah.
Okay, you know, I was just going to ask you, because not to be mean or anything, but last week when you introduced a new reporter, you asked her where she was from, and she told you, and right away you thought she grew up on a reservation. You know, and that wasn't very nice, and I know it probably kind of bothered her, because she got quiet for a minute, but then, you know, she answered you. And, you know, you kind of profiled her there, Diane. I think you owe her an apology.
Okay.
And,
okay, thank you for telling me that.
Okay, can you apologize to her now?
Well, what I'd like to do is go find her and talk to her after the show and apologize that way.
Well, you know, since you did it on the show, I think you should apologize on the show, because I'm sure other people caught it.
Okay, so let me make sure I'm clear. Asking her which reservation she may have grew up on.
No, you said...
What was it? Yeah, let me know so I can do it right.
You grew up on a reservation is what you said. Did you grow up on a reservation?
And you know, I thought it, because I'm familiar, I've been to some, and I thought maybe she might have grown up on... I didn't know that was a negative question. I did not know that. So I will... I apologize to anyone who was offended by that, and I'm really glad you brought that to my attention. I was not aware that that was something that could be seen in a negative way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you thought I'd mention it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
thank you.
Anybody who's ever been done wrong by the police here and the court system, I'm inviting everybody to come out to Watson's Corner on Saturday at 12 o'clock for our peaceful protest.
Okay, thank you. Watson's Corner at noon. Tomorrow.
Yes,
tomorrow.
KYUK reporter's going to be out there this time?
Oh, I don't know. You should call the radio, call the station and ask to speak to the news director or the reporter. Christine, maybe.
Well, yeah, we talked to her yesterday, and she said she's going to try, but, you know, there's not much news going on. What else do you guys have to do? How many people work there in that KYUK station?
Right. I think the news director's out of town, so there's only one. I think it's just Christine covering everything.
Oh, well, can't you tell her? You or Joe, your volunteers at KYUK, you know, it would be nice.
I'm going to be on the river tomorrow, so I won't be around. But
all
I
right.
I like your persistence.
Oh, yes, I am persistent.
No,
I
it's
am
good.
Persistent.
You should be. All right. Well, thank you, and I'll mention your protests again different times in the show this morning to
all
make
right.
sure people
thank
know.
You.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Goodbye. Okay, so next we have Gayuksuk.
Thank you. You're pronouncing it very well.
Oh, good. Okay, thank you.
we know that the state, the billion-dollar state, has financial issues.
Mm-hmm.
And through the news, we have heard some of the school districts have laid off their educators, their teachers.
Yep.
Will the state shut down its operations? And I will hang up and let the listening audience ponder about what is ahead of us. Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. Yeah, there's been, I think the governor may have put out a notice that I think that they have to have just critical kinds of state services will remain, but non-critical ones will be suspended temporarily until they work out the budget. Do you know about that, Joe?
Nope. I try to stay far away as I can from politics.
Even though it affects you every day. Oh, we have Rhonda on the line. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning. Hope everybody's having a beautifully cool this morning.
Yes.
Yes. I am calling about youth programming in Bethel this summer. Bethel 4-H has opened day camp, and we've had 2 full weeks, and we have had over 50 kids every day. One day we had 67 children. So this is a fantastically wonderful problem to have. So we do now have a cutoff for summer day camp at the teen center with 4-H programming. The program is free to children in kindergarten through 6th grade, and you can choose which weeks you want the kids to come to camp. Next week we're doing our own art camp, and that one is already full. There
wow.
are some other options that kids can do. I know that at the cultural center they are still having some camps. You can check with Laura and find out if they can get in there. Campfire USA, our rural program that we have done partnerships with for the last few summers, is here in Bethel this summer. Next week and the week after that, they will be in Tundra Ridge at the LDS Church and the park doing youth programming for 5 through 12 or 13 during the day and some evening teen stuff. If any of the kids or parents are interested in that, they can always call the 4-H Youth Center at 543-2088, and we can get you some more information on campfire programming or any of our programming. In the evenings, we will be having, there's also a soccer club that meets Mondays and Thursdays in the evenings, and boxing on Tuesday and Thursdays at 5:30. And we also have summer food service program meals available to any kids. They don't have to be in any of the programs.
Oh.
We have a free lunch program here at the youth center at 12:15, and we have a dinner at 5:15. At Al Park, about 12:15, there is a volunteer up there giving out meals to children. And also at the pool at 12:15, they can get food.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
That's neat.
So I'm hoping that parents and community members see how well this is going this year and pay attention to the numbers, And hopefully, if you have some ideas about if you could take part and be hold your own week-long camp or come talk to me about some other options that we can do with the kids during the day when they're up and about so that we can take care of the other 50 kids that won't be able to fit in the building or are not doing stuff in that gap time. I'd love to hear it. I'd love to work with you and so that we can work together to have these kids busy and doing healthy programming during the summer.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
That's terrific. They do a lot of good stuff between that and the YK Fitness Center. Seems like there's some good activities for kids.
You could go over there and teach them how to be like you.
No. No, we're avoiding that at all costs. Oh, so next we have Mike on the line. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to Talk Line.
Yeah, good morning from Aquiac.
Hi.
Beautiful morning.
Oh, good. Yes.
A few announcements. First of all, I'd like to thank the Tuscum River Intertribal Fish Commission, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and the Management Working Group are working together to, try to work to make sure that our salmon are healthy and our communities are healthy, we're not just looking at short term but long term, especially the kings that we have had. But tomorrow morning, I think we have a 12-hour 4-inch opportunity tomorrow, and like to also announce on Monday there's 12 hours with 6-inch 25 fathom 45 mesh from Johnson River on up, and 50 fathom from Johnson River on down on Monday. We're getting our fish camps ready to put up fish, and it has been very tough to, unlike how we grew up here on our Kuskokwim River here. But we have to take care of it, and we take care of ourselves, and I just really appreciate everybody working together to make sure that that we have enough for the winter, and also to have enough for the future. I have 13 grandkids and 2 great grandkids now, and we have to continuously work to make sure that their future is secure. Mm. And lastly, I think we have more work to do. We have taken a look at other constitutional governments throughout Canada, throughout the United States, we're putting a meeting together on August 2 and 3 with an invitation to all of the 56 tribal governments to gather in Bethel at the Pichuk Allied Center to talk about options. We know that Senator Hoffman has introduced Senate Bill 18, and that continues to be a center of discussion on different forms of governance in our region, because we don't have unity government. We have nonprofit organizations that are organized as 501c3, but we don't have anything like North Slope or Northwest Arctic or Bissell Bay. This idea of Nunavut has I have relatives in Canada, in Nunavut, where they formed their government under their villages, and it is working. It is relevant form of government. I know that we've done 10 years of research here on how our people govern themselves here in the region for centuries and for over 10,000 years. And we have that information here, but it's the option that we're going to be discussing on August. So have a nice fishing time tomorrow, and also best of luck on Monday. And we look forward for our fish racks to be full of fish once again to prepare for the winter. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Good morning.
Okay.
For the week for the bus, and you know,
is this
place is
anonymous?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this anonymous?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't realize you were on.
Okay. So you know, I explained it to Joe about how the mother turns around and you know blames our child for the whole thing, and we're Harry. I'm Harry, eh, Chris? Like I said it to Joe, that, you know, after they blamed my daughter for the whole thing, my youngest daughter not turns around, and two, three days later, they called me. She had a big knot on her forehead without taking to the hospital or anything. Turns around, the guy, my daughter who got abused, her auntie didn't take her to the hospital for her appointment. It's a, you know, the OCS is a joke in Bethel.
Uh-oh.
I mean, Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
It's a joke. They don't investigate anything. They just want to get rid of people, put them in a dangerous, you know, where they don't investigate a person if he's a criminal, if he's a child rapist or whatever. How many people in YK Delta, they go through in a situation like me, they just, you know, talk to anybody, whoever they please. That's a joke. Then, you know, that OCS got to be over, however you call it, over-evaluated. From Bethel to Harris, OCS is minus F. They don't give a rat's ass about a human. And they says, well, we put them in the safe haven. What safe haven? How many times do you have when they put them in here in Anchorage or here in villages, they put him into a, you know, abusive family, abusive house that they don't give a rat's ass. All they do is just want to collect the money and say, yeah, well, this was taken care of. How do I know? I never even talked to my two kids ever since we got her, or I never seen them. Oh, not once.
Okay. I'm sorry about that. You sounds like you've had a tough experience there.
I had tough, boy. You should see her every day. Somebody gets stabbed or somebody gets killed.
Oh,
that's enough.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you called and kind of got some of that out of your system.
Yeah.
And we're gonna go to our next caller, and that's Nick, I think. Nick, are you on? Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning.
Good morning, Nick.
I'm calling from beautiful downtown Chignik Bay. Beautiful here. And so we're all ready for fishing. And I'd like to end up saying that realizing being away from the family and friends and relatives back home, seeing how special everybody is, and I'd like to end up saying for everybody who's around their family back home, love and cherish them, and be good to one another, no matter how things turn out in your life. I'm missing you all, but soon be back home, and I wish that everyone can treat everyone as special as you can see a person, especially to the one that I really cherish in my life. I know there's so many within the family that I love, but, you know, when you got a special person that you love in your heart that you want to grow older with and be with forever, there's one that's in LA and Madrona, if you're out there and listening. If not, I hope someone that you know that you are special in my heart. I've soon be home before you know it, the summer will be over. And thank you all for taking my call. And you all have a good day.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. We have Gregory. Welcome to the talk line, Gregory.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Oh. Now, wait there. My watch is not working.
Uh-oh.
I'm using a moon dial.
A moon dial. Oh, Gregory.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'd like to pass on a smile. There are a great many concerns surrounding us, mm-hmm. and I'd like to share a smile for everyone and be grateful, Colin, and be cool there to have Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour.
What?
Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour.
Okay.
You're not that old, are you?
No, I've seen the I know about Bugs Bunny and the Roadrunner. I watched that as a kid, so I am that old. I don't know about Joe though. Joe?
No, I know about Bugs Diane and Bugs Roadrunner.
You are old enough for that.
Okay.
I know it. I am.
All right, there. Well, I'd like to pass on a smile.
Thank you.
Okay. Good morning.
All right. Okay. So did you, you want to give those numbers again?
Oh, yes.
The lines are open.
Yes, the lines are open. You could give us a call. The numbers here are 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954, or you could always email us at radio@kyk.org.
Yeah, and
you know, I'm trying to figure out, why is it so hard to come up with a budget?
I think the problem is the income generation, the revenue. Because the oil money...
That's true to a certain extent, but you have to have some... I mean, you should have something in place. Like John said, there should be some kind of a rainy day fund.
There is. There's the savings, and we're using it, but we need to actually have a state income tax. Otherwise, we're going to keep gouging into the PFD, which is...
I mean, it comes down to one thing. It's all about money and who's got power. You know, that's
well,
so sad.
No, it doesn't. It's not. I see a bigger picture than that.
Yeah,
myself.
But people want their dividend. People don't want taxes. You know, I mean, it's about money. Come, think about it very clearly. It's about money.
A lot of people want a state income tax. And
who's
for,
they?
For the polls, when they've taken polls, people
I've
are
never
supportive.
Seen no polls.
Well, I've read them. But the thing is, many people in the YK Delta would not qualify to pay taxes because they don't have enough income. The state income tax is really, it would not be very high. And if you're below a certain income bracket, you're not going to pay any anyway. But it would allow us to keep the dividend fund at the full amount. We wouldn't have to cut into the dividend fund, which actually disproportionately hurts people who have lower incomes and are more dependent on it. So we should actually ask people who make a healthier income to contribute some taxes. And that would include people who come up here and work and then don't plan on staying here, but at least they'd pay some tax while they were here. You know, so that's what I've been reading about.
Yeah,
and unfortunately, in our Senate, they don't want any state income tax, and they want to keep taking it from the dividend, which doesn't hurt wealthier people. You could take away their whole dividend. They won't be impacted the way families will be.
I'd rather have a government that's funded than worry about a dividend. Me personally, I mean, that's just me, but...
Yeah, but you can have, but having a personal income tax and asking the oil, not giving so many gifts to the oil companies, we would be okay.
Well,
so
that was all Governor Parnell's fault.
You know, well, thank you, Parnell. Anyway, okay, I'm going to go to the caller here. We have Wassily. Good morning, Wassily. Welcome to Talk Line. Wassily?
Oh, hi.
You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, this is, actually, this is Andre, not Wassily.
Oh, I'm sorry. Had the wrong name there. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, well, hi, Diane. Hi, Joe. Yeah, I'm calling for my mom, actually, Blanche Jacobs, and I was just calling because, well, she earned her angel's wings the other day on Tuesday.
She went home
to be with her mom and her her grandson. So, yeah, I was just calling to invite the public.
I'm sorry.
We're going to have a funeral nap in Bethel for her next week.
Oh, it's going to be okay. Do you know when?
Yeah, we're going to have it at 2 p.m. at the Catholic Church in Bethel with a reception to follow.
And what day?
So that'll be next Saturday.
Saturday, okay. Go ahead.
So she loved Bethel. You know, I know Bethel loved her, and and people would want to know. So I thought, you know what, let me give you guys a call and make sure to get it out there before the end of today. So
I'm so glad you did. I'll announce it again.
Yeah. Great. So, yeah, she loved Bethel. Bethel was her home for many, many years.
Yeah.
And she loved being in the area. So, yeah, I just wanted to make sure that the people in the area knew the White Kid Dolphin community. So thank you very much all for your good service there on Talkline. I enjoy listening to you from afar, too, by the way.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling, and I'm sorry for your loss. And your mom has a wonderful reputation here, so it'll be really nice to help her pass on next week. All right. Thank you. Okay. So that's the funeral for Blanche Jacobs. Will be 2 p.m. next Saturday at the Catholic Church. Yeah. Okay. So I'm not sure if that's... it's Wassily now. Okay, Wassily, good morning. Welcome to Talkline.
Oh, good morning. I'm from up River Cougar Creek. I was wondering, I missed that guy's talking about fishing. Is it open from the Kuskokwim, on the river?
You know, I don't remember. When Mike Williams called in and he talked about the opening on, I think there's an opening on Monday.
Wait,
I don't know. Okay, so let me not say that. But someone will call in. If you listen, I bet someone will call in and clarify that.
Okay.
So, yeah, because you want to get that straight.
Okay, then have a good morning.
Okay, thank you, Wassily. Yeah. All right, so if anyone knows the opening for fishing and the regulations on that opening, call and let us know. I'm sorry, I didn't write it down when Mike was talking about it. Okay, so we have open lines. Now, if you're somebody who's never called Talkline, you might want to think about doing it. You can remain anonymous, or you can email at radio@kyuk.org.
Phone lines are open. Number sure to give us a call, or 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954, or you could always email us at radio@kyuk.org.
So I was at an interesting conference in Anchorage this week. It's the National Tribal Public Health Summit, and they had some really good workshops and presentations. Some of it was on physical health, but they also had on community, public health community. There was some people from Bethel who were also there. I was part of a presentation on a community approach to suicide intervention. So,
I don't mean to change the subject here, but what do you think about your testimony from Comey?
Oh, Comey's testimony. Well, I mean, I think he made some things pretty clear about our president, that our president...
After that, I have no respect for Donald.
Oh, my gosh.
He went from bad to worse.
Yeah.
And then that other guy, the former Secretary of Defense, he took the Fifth Amendment.
Flynn?
He didn't want to sound like he didn't want to incriminate himself.
Oh, yeah. He's the one who wanted immunity in order to testify.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. All right, so we have a caller. Henry?
Henry Tikyun.
Henry Tikyun. Good morning, Henry. Welcome to Talkline.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nakayak Nangok Sutatali Yutshok, Commercial Lala Smoot. Nangok Lunitalis Hundred Tok Town, Riyam Gok Pilaskat. Nasun Rita Chitai Ma Taum Nasini Kubia Lasunta Nasini, Riyakokuna Tali Laska. Ila Lakaluta Kubia Luni Unani Nakilaskok. Takhayakfit pitkwagaluki kamersalak kamtapi yitso kumgumasuta supi yunan. Nakakakayakut makutmanifisan ki matatami kinata kwangkut nunrang nakshan. Atani wakak nritsakakut kwangkutanak ngamtki. Asin ritlah tutkot ni tunisrit. Yukuni tayo ni tuti. Asin asilit sa itlakya kukut. Lit na usho ti tamak silit tayo matoytas sa tamas ko itakais kalakting rata kalit sa akhtangto kalakting rata tari naksu. Tamako tamay ispiti chalak taksakati. Tamana awani atuskun rilam tukang kuta ayakuyosum. Kalit sa kumadlani anrusuki toot kwang kuta siyula putpiskun rikiluki. Kasat to na ayang nakskinata malista ko tskinata. Malista ko awtsum tamay po insa kumunato ikanikwa. Aka kisto tulu nisu, kasusu tanggung kayaan kisto tulu. Ato wakak nagtakbut ayak muk siksin sam kumaya kini katalrit. Tao na to siksin sam kinyut mun 5 inches or 5.5. Tao kuto ayak kini tulu ma 4 inches alih kinata. Nak kung tao suktak lahtok. Kaya iskak putong may akso kung nagtignak lahtok at kaya kumi. Nasun rito kito iskiyuk tul kantuli ni maa tari nakpitsa. Alahat na rito. Uk suktak kung nang nagtignak put. Uk suminak takayak fit supiyo itut. Ikasot supiyo natin. Uksum nakkain ngang awong naklak tukut nuksiting ngang tatasan kubuyan ng nuksiting tingnan na tukuro tapit pitak tukalan lang kut uksum nakkain piluta tama na umiyok sukus nitsuksuti nang oksi agit kut kutmaning agalit tamak pinitunit lani. Tolong ni sekolah untuk nak cakap kula. Good morning, ngahalu kita mahpci. Hoyana.
Okay, thank you. Do you want to say what? I thought there was that an email? I don't know what that was.
Henry Tickian from Akmalsok stated that 4-inch mesh won't catch salmon, and people won't get their salmon. He said a former fish and game worker in Bethel, Ray Baxter, didn't play with the people of this river. In other words, people fished to catch salmon back then. Now they don't.
Oh, okay, so that must have been an email that came in. All right, thank you. Peter Twitchell is working the board today, which is very nice. Thank you, Peter. We have Mark is online. Good morning, Mark. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning. That's sad news. Andre, that's mom.
Oh, Blanche, yep.
Yeah. I just want to talk about taxes, state income tax, for a couple of minutes.
Okay.
I remember when state income tax went away in Alaska. It was never a particularly onerous amount of money. We actually paid two taxes. We paid a $10 a year school tax, and there was a state income tax that went into the state general fund.
Mm-hmm.
In the early 1980s, it was actually Jay Hamm who kind of masterminded it, but it was really driven, the repeal of state income tax was really driven by former state representative, Libertarian Dick Randolph from Fairbanks, whose name I will rue to my dying day. As soon as the state income tax went away, the majority of the people of Alaska ceased paying any attention to what was going on in Juneau. Nobody really cared what the legislature was doing as long as they got their roads paved and they got their shooting ranges and they got their fire trucks and, you know, the things that Anchorage wanted and Fairbanks wanted and the Bush wanted and Bethel wanted. Everybody got what they wanted for about 20 years. But nobody really paid attention to either where the money was coming from or how it was being spent. And nobody particularly paid any attention to what is, you know, called in a bad way by some people as the growth of government. The only people in the state who can go, even today, who can go to the legislature and sit across the table from them and say with a straight face, I pay taxes, are the oil companies and some larger businesses in the state that don't pay corporate tax anywhere near what the oil companies pay. When an average Alaskan goes to Juneau, tries to testify to the legislature and says, my tax dollars, the legislators hold pieces of paper in front of their faces so nobody will see them giggling. I am in complete support of an income tax because it's going to make us start to pay attention to what the legislature is doing with our money. Right now, everybody says, oh, yeah, we own the oil. Well, yes, we do. But nobody pays attention to what the legislature is doing. And that's evident in a few things, not the least of which in some of the people who, not from around here, but from other parts of the state who get elected to the legislature. It's like, yeah, I guess they're okay. But nobody says, I want you to get down there and spend my money wisely because they're not spending our money coming out of our pockets. We don't have any skin in legislative game, and we haven't since the very early 1980s. So when people start saying, oh, income tax is going to be a real tough go for anybody, there's a couple of things to remember. You can deduct your state income tax off of your federal taxes. You can still do that. And the average person in rural Alaska and the Whitecap Delta, unless they've got a pretty decent job, is not going to be paying a lot of state income tax. But even if you're paying a little bit, you're going to be able to go up to Zach. You're going to be able to go up to Lyman. You're going to be able to go up to, if you live north of here, you'll be able to go to Representative Olson or Representative Westlake and say, hey, be careful how you spend my money. So that's my comment about income tax.
Okay. So, you think, well, but we had so much oil revenue that people didn't have to actually worry. So I think that was part of it too, not just that they weren't having to pay a state income tax. But now, is Mark still on the line?
No.
Peter's on the line. Okay. Hello, Peter. We have a different process going on here.
Okay. Am I on now?
You are on the show. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Welcome.
All right. I didn't interrupt anything. I was just waiting to get on the line. Am I on the line now?
You are on the line. Yes. We're doing a different process than I'm used to, so I'm stumbling around a little bit. So forgive me.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but you are on the air.
All right. Already. Yeah. I overheard you you questioning about when the fishing openers might be?
Yes.
The next ones, you know, the next one will be tomorrow, which is June 10th on Saturday. And then, it is going to be from 10 to 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And then what they, well, what I heard was that it's going to be a 4-inch whitefish net opener, 4-inch, and cannot be no longer than 60 feet and 45 fathoms deep. And then the next opener after that was going to happen on Monday, June 12th. And in our area, up to Johnson River, you can fish with a 6-inch mesh, you know, 25 fathom, which would be 150 feet, and 45 fathom deep, no deeper than that. And below Johnson River, it can be up to 50 fathom, which is a 300-foot net, you know, those traditional length nets that we used to drift with years back. You can use them below Johnson River or to the mouth of the river. You know, same, 50 fathom, 345 mesh. And then for the rest of the, you know, particulars, or if you have further questions, you know, there's a fish and game number here in Bethel that they could call for people that would like to learn more about any more particulars on the regulations. It's a fish and game, state fish and game number is 543-2433. And there's a recording on there that you can press 1 for recording. And then if you need some more information, then you just follow the cues. I think it's a number, press number 6 or whatever, you know, to talk to a live person to ask you more questions about, you know, regulations and such. So I overheard, and since I knew a little about it, I decided to call in and let you know.
Thank you for doing that, yes.
Okay, and then, you know, water levels are really low, you know, so there's people, you know, traveling are, you know, having some difficulty navigating through some of the waters up and down the Kuskokwim River, you know, like sandbars that have not been visible for years are showing up, you know, so there's a lot of low water and sandbars, places where you can get hung up, you know, so people have to pay attention. And, you know, and certainly during the summertime when you're on the boat or working near the water, it's always a good idea to have a life vest on or something that'll make you float. So
sure.
we want everyone to be safe this summer, you know, as they do their summer activities. And, you know, just enjoy the summer and, you know, safe boating and just enjoy what, even though it's low water, no need to complain about it. Just accept it just the way it is and go fishing and, you know, and then if you're lighthearted and then not complaining and moping so much, maybe you might get blessed.
Yeah. That's a good attitude to have. I like that. Next we have John Carter from E. Good morning, John. Welcome to Talk Line. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. This is John Carter. I'm calling from E. I'm calling over there due to I heard for the first time that the government is setting down in 3 days. That may be very well as most folks thought. But again, it may have been reported in terms of news somewhere and missed it altogether.
Uh-huh.
What I heard was that the lawmakers must come up with agreement before the end of month of July. Otherwise, the government services will be cut. Will the state be gone along with it? No. The state of Alaska will be there. Although the services we hear may be less, but it'll never go away. That is what the politics do. It talks of if. What is left? The tax system. And agreed on both houses, state in the house, and publicized to the communities around the state of Alaska before putting on the ballot of 2018. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, John. Okay, next. Is this Jim? Hello, Jim. Welcome to Talk Line.
Yeah, hi, morning, Joe. Morning, Peter. Hopefully you guys can hear me. I just heard from one of Blanche Jacobs' sons and wanted to share a thought on Blanche Jacobs. It's a very sad day for all of us. If you didn't know, Blanche was one of those behind-the-scenes, hardworking ladies dedicated to helping everybody and making everybody better. I worked with her for about 2 years, and she certainly made me better, from her work at the DA's office to her work with the Tundra Women's Coalition. She helped hundreds, if not thousands, of victims in the YK Delta. And one memory I want to share with her, is she was one of the biggest proponents of spending resources, spending our money on educational and treatment programs. That we need better mental health programs, we need better alcohol treatment programs, and her whole advocacy was fixing problems before they got worse. And with that, I just want to say God bless you, Blanche, and sincere condolences to her two boys and her family. Thank you.
I'm glad you called in. Yes, she was a really remarkable person. And again, Blanche Jacobs' funeral is next Saturday at 2 p.m. at the Catholic Church. And we also have tomorrow at noon is a peaceful protest at Watson's Corner. And this is regarding our police department. I believe there's protests about our police department. Okay.
So you and I talked about a couple things. State budget.
Yeah.
And so what was your opinion again? To me, it's just a... Why can't they just come together and agree on something for once? Why do they always have to be against each other? And I need more money than you. You need less money than me. I got a bigger district than you, and I got more people living here than you do, and blah, blah, blah.
Well, I don't think it's quite like that. I think it's more, it's a foundation of what is your philosophy about the role of state government? So some people believe the role of state government should be very limited, that there should not be income tax, that it's more of an individualistic kind of approach, and that can have its positives. There are other people who believe the government should have a larger role in our lives in terms of providing services, and in order to do that, you need to develop income, have income generating. So what's happening, I think, is that there's a kind of a clash between these basic philosophies about what role government plays and how...
But you're going to shut down because you can't come up with a budget?
No, they can come up with a budget. It's paying for it. And that's the fundamental. There's a basic kind of philosophical difference. That's what I think is happening.
That's way too much.
It is disappointing, and they should have been able to find a way to meet in the middle somehow.
They should have done something instead of we're going to shut down by Monday.
Yeah. Yeah, it's come to that.
You know, how ridiculous is that?
Some people have tried to keep this going. We have Lexi on the line. Good morning, Lexi. Welcome to Talk Line. You're on the air.
Hello?
Alexi?
Hello?
Oh, hello. Is this Alexi?
No.
Who is this?
Howard.
Oh, hi, Howard. You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I think they shut down because of political sides, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think it's so much, there's too much squabbling between the House and the Senate, you know. So, you know, even the governor is trying to get things going, but it never happened. I guess if the House is going to shut down, the Fish and Wildlife shut down too, right? Okay. Hello?
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I was adjusting my headset.
Oh, uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Did you find it?
I've got it. My headset is back on my head, okay, where it belongs. What was the last part you said?
I said if the government shuts down, then Fish and Wildlife shut down, right?
Oh, I don't know all the agencies that are impacted by this, but that may be one.
Yeah, it is. I think number one shuts down. So what's going to happen? Fishing games are free for all then?
No, because I think that troopers are still active, maybe. I don't know what you mean in terms of checking the rivers to see who's violating fishing.
Yeah.
Well, that is one way to look at that. Could be a plus side. But I don't. I don't know if there are a lot of agencies impacted, and I don't know what they are, and what extent.
And so, what happened with that Comey testimony yesterday? Did he end up lying, or did Trump lie?
Well, that's what people get to decide. Who do you think is telling the truth? Because one of them is not.
I think Comey's telling the truth because we already caught Trump in too many lies.
Yeah, I agree.
And he don't, totally. and he still won't pay his taxes. He's found a loophole.
We still don't have those taxes, do we?
No.
And then we find out that he and his son Eric actually build charities. Charities were using his golf course to raise money for children with cancer, and were told that all of the money that they were generating was going to the charity. Actually, Trump and his son were skimming off and billing for the use of the golf course, even though they had said this is their contribution. And that's clear. That is true. That's out there. There's a whole news thing on that. So I don't know.
So we're
five.
Our country then, huh?
Well, we're 5 months in, and I don't see it's how we're going to keep going like this for 4 years, but we'll see.
Yeah, really. Well, I just want to say something about that disengaging Fish and Wildlife. I think they shut down once government shuts down. There's no
enforcement.
Yeah, so.
Okay, interesting.
I think it's a free for all on the river there, you know.
Careful.
I'll be as free and loud as I can say that then.
you can say anything you want. All right, thank you. That was Howard.
Before we go to our next call, if I remember right, the United States Department of Fish and Game, the feds are taking over the subsistence oversight of all the fishing here on the Kuskokwim.
Oh,
it's no longer under state control. Oh. It's going to be under fed. It's under the fed control.
So who would be doing the enforcement?
The feds.
Okay, so that will not close.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're definitely going to have...
Howard, be careful.
I mean, I could be wrong, but that's my understanding.
Okay, that's a good point.
The state has turned it over to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Okay, gotcha. Oh, well, that's right. I read about that. Okay, thank you. All right, Evelyn from Aniak. Good morning, Evelyn. Welcome to the show. You're on Talkline.
Good morning. This is Evelyn Elliott.
Good morning.
We're back, Rumpy and I. Last month that we were over in Wasilla and Juneau and up in Fairbanks even for a wedding. So it's good to be home and everything is beautiful, but I was checking to see if any planning was being made for 4th of July. Seems pretty quiet for the pre-setting of it. I was kind of hearing rumors that the city was reluctant about some things, but we have all these parks and buildings and service organizations that fundraise, and which is great, and we do it with all our hearts because the kids and the people look forward to a patriotic event, I'm sure, even with all this stuff going around the country and the world. And despite all this lawlessness that seems to be amok, we still have the Ten Commandments that the Lord has given us to abide by. And with our culture here, we have that ingrained in our cultural heritage. And the people of the river know how to share and take care of elders. And the younger people have to open their ears and realize that life goes on. And they have to learn how to stand up on their feet. Some of us grow up a lot younger than others. Sometimes it takes a whole lifetime, like some of us, to learn or to be the person that God wants each of us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all in His hands, but we're all part of the setup, and we're in this life together, and everybody should be forgiving and loving each other and helping or do a good deed for someone, because life is short. There's only four things for sure, but one friend told me, she said. One of them, we all know, are death or taxes, but this is death, judgment, heaven or hell. And I said, man, that should wake up a lot of us. Try to shape up. And in the meantime, enjoy the summer. And I just wanted to hear what the 4th of July plans were, because I don't want to march a long hike like last year where they had, it was sunny down by Swanson's, and by the time you reached the park, it was cold and rainy and
smoky.
So,
right.
You know, if they would just shorten the route, maybe the parade might not be as long, or, you know, people wouldn't have to be out in the cold so long. So, but maybe this year we'll be blessed. We'll see. But anyway, I look forward to seeing everybody, and Sompy is glad to be home. The weather is fine, and just wonderful to see everyone. And God bless everyone, and we love all of you. So have a great weekend and a great month, and I want to hear more about the 4th of July plannings, okay? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. She had some nice attitude that she was sharing. Okay, so now I think we do have Alexi on the line. Good morning, Alexi. Welcome to Talk Line.
Well, good morning to you both.
Good morning.
How's everything going where you're at?
I'm upriver. I'm not in my village. I'm upriver.
Are you holding it upriver down?
No. I'll go. Don't worry, I'll go back. Hey, on this fishing, is this going to be open for drifting?
The one on Monday, yes.
The one on Monday?
Yes.
Now, that's from Johnson River on down is what, 50 fathoms?
Below Johnson is 50 fathom, and then above Johnson is 25?
25.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know what? We have a very low water.
Yeah, I know.
Here. And this might be the record that I know of, because this is the lowest I ever seen it in my life. Now, if they have the opening this coming Monday in 50 fathom, they should have the villagers go out first, the villagers. They are the subsistence users.
Hmm.
Now, non-natives, I'd rather see them after 3 weeks, and then they could go out and fish. But I believe they need to let the village people get their subsistence first, because they depend on that all winter.
Hmm.
And if they do that, I believe they feel much better, because two areas that have different bottom is not, they should have only 50 all the way up, not 25. It should be, if they open 50 fathom down on Johnson River on down, they should do the same thing to Johnson River on up, not restricting one side you use less, the other side you use 50. That's, I don't agree with that part. Everybody should be the same.
Well, you got to remember, Alex, Johnson and below is a lot wider than Johnson and up.
Well, that's true, but my village is even wider than where I'm staying right now.
Yeah, but that's due to erosion.
Yeah, it's erosion. But there, since we have low water, and if they're going to let everybody fish, non-natives included, there are going to be a lot of snags in the river because of the low water. We don't know where all the snags are, but once they go out, we'll know where they are. because they'll be, you know, their nets will get into the snag, and that's, and there's going to be a lot of them because of this low water that we got.
So if I get a snag, I could call it the Lexi snag?
You could, yeah, that could be good.
That, is that the nickname?
Yeah, but other than that, you know, I feel that the villagers should come first before the non-natives do that because they depend on that all winter.
Yeah, but what about what about the people in Bethel that are from all the villages? What about us?
Those are they're natives. As long as you are native, I'm talking about non-natives that shouldn't be going out. Bethel has a variety of villages going in there because of the work.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones that could go out and fish because they're native. They're from here.
Well, it's.
But I'm talking about non-natives should wait.
No, it's for it is for federal subsistence users, that meaning indigenous people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, us.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about. And
it's me they're talking about.
And yeah. My people need to get, you know, wait a little bit longer.
Yeah, because
you got people.
Well, no,
white people,
fish,
non-native people.
Fish, you know, remember there'll be fish. Mm-hmm. Still coming in, but the way I see it, they should let the villagers come in first, and then because we don't have a market. The river and the land is our garden. All our life, I've been living through that all my life.
Yeah, but
and
you forgot Bethel people are coming from the villages.
Yeah, well, those, yeah. Since Bethel is growing like crazy, in my time they used to be less than 100.
Uh-huh.
Now it's 6,000.
Yep.
And if you look at it, there's a lot of non-Native came up here. A lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
They probably outnumber the natives in Bethel. I don't know.
No,
I don't know that.
No, not yet. No.
Well, getting close.
Okay, yeah.
I believe it's getting close. But other than that, they should, on the fishing, they should let the villagers come, you know, let them go out first. And that way I feel much better for the elders, because one elder that called in earlier, and he put out a lot of good words in it, a lot of it. And I can, you know, interpret it because it's so. I don't want to leave out the important part, mm-hmm, of what he was saying, but he did put out pretty good words out of what he was saying on the subsistence. So I'm just hoping that he let the villages fish first before non-native. That's how I feel.
Okay, Alexi.
Okay, you too have a nice. That's the only thing that I wanted to say.
Yeah, have a safe weekend, okay?
I always do. Mm-hmm. I always have my eyes peeled all the time.
You behave and stay
in a tree, you know, while I'm walking.
you behave and stay out of trouble.
Oh, yes, I am. Okay. You too, have a nice weekend.
You too.
Okay.
All right. Bye. So we have Cesari on the line. It's me.
Yeah.
It's been a long time, Cesari.
I'm working, man.
Okay, all right. Well, what's on your mind this morning?
Let's see what she called in. Yeah, what should I say? That my people, my
non-native people, Gussucks.
Oh, they're not native. I come not native, but in previous life I was native, I think.
Well, if we all go back far enough, we are all indigenous
at some point
in our history.
I came by, 37 years back and married for 27 years or 28,
mm-hmm,
more like that, 30 years married.
Mm-hmm.
And have two kids, so how you call, have my people, why have I call my people? Have my people or have your people?
Cesari, you forgot your native now.
Oh.
I graduated.
You're one of the people. Yeah, you've graduated.
I graduated. Which way? To Mexican streets or what?
Okay, what's on your mind? Are you calling about your meeting with the council yesterday?
Yeah, how'd that go?
I have more time.
What? Okay. What? How did your meeting go yesterday with about the liquor license?
I postponed it on the 13th, I guess.
Huh.
I figured out we have some papers, something's going on. I know I'm talking, I think, about it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, you know, I kind of a little surprised on the Swansons, the Beacon's opponents, those people calling the, from Cooper Bay, from the Coles, and when I found out that they're applying for the liquor store, what is that, what's his name, he always calling and talking really bad about liquor. He just called today too, I think, he always called from Coles, from Cooper, somewhere in the city, complaining about this liquor and how they're bad to the people, and they try to open up themselves and poison themselves, or what? What is the deal?
I don't know.
I don't know. That is strange, I really think, you know, you must think. It's like you go to the AFN, and all day we're talking about in AFN how bad alcohol do the people, and you try to find a room in the any bar, you can't. Evening time, after meeting's over, you know. Oh, come on, guys. One way or another way. Not one leg in the heaven, another one in the day, with the devil. So just be stick with your opinion and not shifting where is the money. So. That is my opinion. But I'm still in the wagon, and the wagon rolling up the hill, but they keep rolling. Progress on the going is good. So.
You said that meeting yesterday was postponed?
No. My decision about my application.
Oh, for yours?
Yeah, for my. And I think the news radio to say that still denied, and those few people speak up against that. Actually, Steve Chong to speak up against me, too. He said it's really dangerous in there because the river is not so traffic. But he forgot to mention by the post office there was every year he's run the average of 10 accidents when sometimes more, sometimes less. I know that because I fix the vehicles and I know what they're happening. Okay, have a good day.
Okay.
I call sometime later on. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Cesari. All right. I hadn't heard from Cesari in a while. All right, so next we have Peter. Welcome to Talkline, Peter. You're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to congratulate Elena Nicole Jacobs on her solo flight at the Galena Learning Academy. Tunes, the first school got out.
Wow.
Travel in a party.
She did a solo flight, is that what you said?
Yes.
Oh, wow. She's becoming a pilot?
Apparently she is.
Well, actually, you're right. She already is. She's done her solo flight. Wow, that's great. Well, congratulations to her.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, the lines are open.
Yes, they are. The phone numbers here are 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954, or you could always email us at radio@kyk.org.
Radio@kyuk.org.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't got an email.
I know. Well, I don't know why that is.
Anyway, getting back to some of the topic, what do you think about Comey's testimony? I didn't get to watch it all. I only watched part of it, and...
It seemed very clear to me that he was alarmed by some of the suggestions Trump was making, and I guess what happened is he started taking notes after every single interaction, even to the point of after he met with Trump in the White House, he immediately went to his vehicle afterwards and sat in his vehicle to write the notes down. And when Trump kind of had a mild threat, like, well, Comey better hope there's no tapes of our meetings, and Comey was delighted. He said, I hope there are, because then everything I'm saying will be corroborated. But Trump purposely met with him alone, Comey alone, so that there wouldn't be any other witnesses. And I think he wanted him to drop the Flynn case, and I think he wanted him to move away from exploring the connection between Russia and the Trump campaign.
It had nothing to do. I mean, when he specifically, Trump asked him, is there investigation about me? He told him no.
Right. Although technically you're not supposed to ask that. If you're a president and there's an investigation going on, you're to sort of have, you know, hands off, let the Bureau do what it needs to do without trying to influence.
You know, some of the people that he picked for his positions, he should have looked at 110% of their background before he elected them for that position and nominated them for that position, to like the guy that was formerly Secretary of Defense. You know, he was part of the, he sat down with Putin in a.
Oh, Flynn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Well, even Jared Kushner,
yeah,
the president's son-in-law,
yeah,
also had meetings that he did not disclose.
Which he should have.
And so that's why they're looking at him now, too.
That's good. They should look at everybody involved with him.
And there's a lot of positions that are not.
Maybe we should all gamble on Trump whether or not he's going to be president.
I don't know. Yeah, you could have a 50-50.
You want a bet?
No.
A dollar?
No, no, no.
Only a dollar. Come on.
Do a 50-50. All right. So it looks like we have a caller, Billy. Welcome to the show, Billy. You're on the air.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Yeah, this subsistence opportunity is for everyone else, native or not.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Don't have to. They have stomach like us. You know, they got to eat, too. All right. Good morning. Bye-bye.
Okay. So he's saying it's open. It's open for people.
Well, the guy at Fish and Game, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, he normally calls us, but we haven't heard from him today. Mm. I can't remember the guy's name.
Ray?
I think so.
Ray, I think. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Well, our phone lines are open.
Yes, they are.
And if you've never called Talkline, work up your nerve and give us a call if you'd like.
Or email us.
Or email us. You don't have to say your name. But there's a lot of things going on in the world or in the region. And
you could say your name's Diane. Or you could say your name's Joel.
Yeah, you can claim our names if that makes it easier.
So what is this... this committee going to do after they listen to his testimony?
Well, what's really interesting is some of the things they asked him about Trump, he couldn't say in an open session. So they then went to a closed session. And I guess more kinds of information came out there. So
so the public testimony was to a certain point, and after that they had a closed-door session.
Because a couple times Comey said, I'd rather not answer that in a public forum. One was, do you think there's a connection between Trump and Russia meddling with the election? And he said, well, I'd rather not say that in public. So.
And then you saw that interview with Putin with that lady on, what was it, ABC, NBC, or CBS? That lady that interviewed Putin?
Yeah, the journalist.
What did you think about that?
I didn't see the interview.
I didn't either, but the brief, you know. It's just, world of politics is all dirty.
Well, I don't know.
Unless you could prove me wrong.
I don't think it's all dirty, but okay. It looks like we have, I think that's Timothine. Okay, good morning, Timothine. You're on the air.
Good morning. Hi, this is Timothine Charles from Justice Corporation. I'm an enrollment project intern here at TOSCA in Bethel.
Oh, good, okay.
I, I'd just like to take the time to encourage everyone to come and enroll or vote at our Bethel office. It's the address is 313 Willow Street.
Uh-huh.
People would need to bring their birth certificates, ID, and social security numbers. And we're open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And you can call and make appointments. Our number is 543-5420. And that's it.
Okay. Thank you, Timothy. And that's for Chalista enrollment.
Come or on. To vote, right?
Oh, she's off the air.
She hung up.
Okay. So it looks like we have Sam. Good morning, Sam. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning. This is Sam with Bethel Search and Rescue.
Hi.
Hi. We're having, we're calling all our members to come into our meeting tonight at 7:30.
Okay. Where?
Down at the search building.
Okay.
At the headquarters. Mm-hmm. Hopefully everybody will show up. We're needing help down there for 4th of July stuff. Okay. And everybody wear your float coats and thank you and be safe.
Okay. Thank you, Sam.
All right. All right. Bye.
Time to start planning for the 4th of July. The parade, I guess, parade and...
Well, you heard Evelyn wondering, she was wondering who's going to run it.
Well, he's saying there's an organizing meeting tonight at Search and Rescue, at the Search and Rescue building.
No, that's for Search and Rescue. That's for their organization.
Well, I thought he said, oh, for their part.
For their part.
That's right. They're not organizing it. It's for whatever they're going to do.
It's usually, the city of Bethel.
That's a good
organizes.
Question.
Because they're the ones that sell the booths in the.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And then I wonder if groups are preparing their float or whatever they're going to.
The biggest thing for 4th of July is volunteers. Without the volunteers.
Okay, maybe somebody can call in and tell if you want. I know who to contact.
I know they're looking for volunteers, but. Who do we call?
Yeah.
Or who do we contact?
Good question. All right. So we have Tom from Chalista. Good morning, Tom. Welcome to Talkline. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are you two doing?
Good, good.
We're just doing fine. Okay. Yeah. Yourself?
Doing well, thank you. I just want to call and give a quick reminder to Chalista shareholders.
Okay.
Voting packets are out there, and the first early bird deadline for online voting is Monday. So if you vote online by June 12, 5 p.m., then you'll be entered into that round of drawings, and you will also qualify for the other three round of drawings after that. So vote online by 5 p.m. on Monday. I know there's a fish opening Monday, so maybe Sunday night after dinner, get out your phone. 60% of people who vote online, it takes them less than 4 minutes. To vote online. So it's very quick and very easy.
I don't think that was the case because it gave you an idea how to go there, but if you don't have a, what's that word I'm looking for? If you don't have a picture of how to get there, it's kind of complicated. I don't care if you're a computer guru or not, but when I was trying to find it to go online to vote, at first I had a hard time until I started following the pictures, but even those are hard to see.
Oh, okay. All right. We did work on, last year we required three logins or three pieces of information to get to vote. This year we simplified it down to two, and that's really the minimum that you want for security purposes. But yeah, the online pin is on the back of your blue proxy form, and then just head to trostavote.com, and then hopefully that'll make it as easy as possible. I apologize that it was tough for you there, Joe. Yeah, if you want to send me information, I'll be happy to take a look at it, and we can look to see how we can make it even easier for next year.
And I think there's a gremlin that always takes my name up before the drawing.
I feel your pain. Uh-oh. I feel your pain.
All right. So thank you, Tom, for calling in.
Absolutely. Take care.
Before you go, how's the enrollment going?
Yeah.
How's enrollment going?
Over 13,000 applications received so far. So, you know, assuming every single one is eligible and fully completed, that means the number of shareholders would double. Enrollment is still open. You can find information at our website. But for everyone that has submitted applications through June 2,
they will get priority issuance in December when we start issuing shares.
Okay. When was the deadline to apply? Was there a deadline?
The deadline for the last drawing to win, there were five $1,000 prizes. The deadline was June 2, uh-huh. But enrollment doesn't close.
Oh, it doesn't close?
So,
it stays open?
Right.
Okay,
exactly.
Good.
Exactly. So I've got a four-year-old at home. In 20, 30 years, when he has kids, he can enroll them.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Tom. We have one last caller we're going to get to. Have a good day.
Take care.
All right. So, Mary, welcome to Talkline. You have just a few minutes.
Okay. This is Mary. I just wanted to know if anybody called in to explain the differences in fishing opportunities on Saturday and Monday?
No, not quite. Go ahead. That'd be great.
Okay. So tomorrow, Saturday, June 10th, the state is having a whitefish opportunity using whitefish nets from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. And on Monday, it's a salmon opportunity that the federal government is having for federally qualified users, meaning you have to have lived on the Kuskokwim within the last year. And that is a six inch or smaller mesh. From the Johnson River down, it can be 50 fathoms long or 300 feet. From the Johnson River up, it's 25 fathoms or 150 feet. And that's drifting and set net. And that's from noon to midnight on Monday, the 12th.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. That's great. Very clear. Thank
okay.
you.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Good fishing, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so we have a whitefish tomorrow, salmon on Monday, and
the one on Monday is to what? Federally qualified users.
Right, right.
That's I wanted to make that very clear.
Yes, so we've had that. That about completes our time with Talkline today. Thank you, everyone, for calling. And if you're
yes.
a listener and have never called, think about calling or sending an email. We'd love to hear from you.
If you're going to go out to have a plan, please don't drink and drive. And yes, wear your PFD.
Okay.
Not the PFD you receive for money. Wear the PFD that saves you.
Right. Yes, wear the one. The wearable one.
Okay. Have a safe weekend.
Thank you. Express yourself.